it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First and 10, ball on the 13. Barkley back in. Motion to the far side. This time it goes to Barkley. Across the 10, 5, touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
They cleared the lane.
There you go. So the Birds get the W in KC, 2-0. Coming back for a game Sunday versus the Rams. By the way, we'll be giving away tickets to that game.
Really?
Yes! Good work, Rhea. So tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, make sure you're listening at 8 o'clock each day. We'll give you a different name, four names, one each day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we will give away a pair of tickets on Friday. You got to know the four names that were said. All of it's going to happen at 8 o'clock each day. Know the four names, and you can win the tickets.
Courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And we'll be doing that for all Eagles home games, and obviously typically when they play on a Sunday, the giveaway will be a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday format. If there's a Thursday game, then that's a little different. You guys catch the drift. All right. Let's talk injury report. NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report with Dr. Richard Francesco. He's a core family and sports medicine in Glen Mills, Doc, and Kennett Square, by the way, specializing in primary sports care medicine, including concussions. Eagles fairly unscathed so far, but a couple injuries, obviously, to discuss, and Dr. Francesco is with us. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, team. How about that Super Bowl rematch win? Feels good. Feels good.
Feels real good. Feels like one team's still up there, and one team's headed way down. So we'll see as time goes on. All right, so Devontae went down. And then came back in and made a huge play in the fourth quarter. But we were told, and we've seen video, that he was, you know, walking very gingerly post-game. That back, landing on that back and a little bit of the head combination. How concerning would that be for you week three, knowing that he finished the game?
Yeah, you know, he's tough, just like Hurts said. But this reminds me a lot of the kind of amble out of there that Dickerson has had the past couple of weeks. And these back injuries, even though the spine stays stable and there's no real structural issues, they can haunt you. So you got a bunch of ligaments back there. You got some muscles. Looks like he took a hit right on it. And yeah, they're padded up. But when you're running down the field like that, swiped by Williams, I mean, that impact force, it'll take your breath away. And the thing is they're going to rehab him good. The biggest thing I worry about with it isn't so much the structure, but as you rehab it, until you're 100%, injury like that will take a couple weeks to be 100%. But if you flare it up, boom, it's going to spasm on you. You see that in Dickerson's face all the time the past two games. He kind of grabs his back. He's like, but he goes and lines up again. He's tough. So it's really working the kinks out and hoping that they can just cut ties with that injury, that muscle spasm, before it really starts to haunt him throughout the season. These are the things that really kind of just, it's like a monkey on your back and they follow you throughout a couple of weeks. But hopefully that won't be the case with Smith.
So Dallas Goedert sprained his knee September 4th, and he hasn't practiced since, but he went to the team, went to Kansas City with the team. When they say sprained knee, do we automatically now just assume it's an MCL, Doc, because that's the one ligament that can be sprained and he doesn't have to be out for an extended period because it's going to heal itself?
I mean, it's one of the big four. It's a popular one to be sprained because of all the cutting and pivoting, but you got four major stabilizer ligaments in the knee. You got your MCL, then you got your LCL, which goes on the other side, and you got an ACL and a PCL on the inside. Now, when you tear that ACL, you know you're out for a while. Bad news bears. The LCLs and the MCLs, it's pretty rare that you're going to need surgery for those, but you got to be careful with the recovery. Generally, for a tight end, for a grade one or two, which is like a lower grade sprain, you're looking 2 to 5 weeks. What I'm worried about with Goedert, though, is that last season around week 13, if my memory serves me, he had a similar injury to the knee, and it sidelined him for a few weeks. So I feel like the team is going to be really careful with their star tight end. They don't want to put him through the reps or the paces too soon. I don't think he practiced at all this week. Even though he went to be there with the team, it makes sense. And even though this isn't something that's going to need surgery, that usual 2 to 4 week return, I think we're looking more like 4 to 5 weeks just because of that history. But it's good to see him on his feet, good to see him suited up, but I don't think we should expect to see him making some serious plays for a game or two more.
And Doc, final thing here, the situation with Will Shipley. So he got hurt, obviously, before. Fractured rib. When would be your expectation of when he could next play in a game?
So I was reading into that, and I was looking at that. I mean, more fresh news came out the past day, and it seems like there's some conflicting things. Is it one or two ribs that have been fractured? And they really like to keep the veil of secrecy over things, so we don't know 100% what's going on. I'll say that one rib being fractured versus two, really big difference for return to play. One rib, you're looking 2 to 4 weeks. If it's two, it may be more 3 to 6 weeks. It also depends which ribs might have been fractured. It could have been one of the bony structures, or it could have been the cartilage in there. If it's the bone, big old crack in the rib, you're looking at more time on the bench. Mm. Yeah, they can rehab these guys. They can pad it up. But you really can't do much aside from wait it out, because there's really no splinting or anything you can do here. You just got to let it heal. And it's all about the pain response. For somebody that's a running back, when your expectations are dynamic, you need to be explosive. You take one wrong hit if that rib isn't completely healed yet, and you're back down for a lot longer.
All right, Doc, one last thing. Kansas City, just because if we're going to do the body and the medical, let's just do it. Does Kansas City, do they have a heart? Or did the Eagles take it from them in Super Bowl 59 and it's gone?
I don't know. I mean, I think we shrunk that thing down.
Not the same squad, Doc. Not the same squad.
No,
hey, Doc, awesome stuff. For more information on Dr. Richard Francesco, get yourself to corefamilypractice.com/sportsmedicine. That's corefamilypractice.com/sportsmedicine. Reminder, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, be listening as we give you the first clue for your chance to win the Eagles-Rams tickets on Friday on our show. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you. Thanks, team. Doc. Go Birds.
Appreciate it very much. Good
There's
report
right
there.
There's an unofficial injury that we didn't talk about.
What's
with
that?
The doctor, the
yep.
Jalen Carter stinger thing.
So what do you make of that? You've had a bunch of them. How rough is that?
It's rough. It's every time, it gets worse. Mm-hmm. It flares up. It's a nerve thing. Neck thing, where most seasons for me, I knew that by halfway through the year, I would get burners almost every time that I would hit someone. And what it feels like is like your arm is the deepest, darkest pain, and like it catches on fire all at the same time, and it shoots, and it's weak. You lose strength, you lose feeling. Sometimes it would be one arm, sometimes it would be both. Sometimes it would go down into one leg. But it was by the end of camp, you usually, if you're a linebacker or a fullback, you know everyone's suffering with the same thing. You can see when guys' arms go limp and sort of dangle. Mm. You could see the way he was holding his arm yesterday. And it's just a few plays later, that burning, like, that sort of pain, it's gone away to where you get some strength back. Wow. And you can get after it. But then, hey, a guy coming up and saying, hey, great play, tapping you on the helmet, might flame you up down both arms, too.
So you shouldn't do that stinger celebration thing with Sirianni, with the arm? Whatever that's called.
The Bash Brothers thing they do, yeah.
So, well, it's not quite Bash Brothers.
Oh, but it's what it reminds me of.
You have a stinger, it only gets worse from there.
Yeah.
And the part that the problem now is he's going to have to deal with it for quite some time.
Wow. All right.
Well, if they get it right here, the game is virtually over. They line up. They push. They shove. And he clearly picks up the first down. And that should do it.
That will do it.
You know, I don't know offhand, but it is certainly possible that was the game that had the most tush pushes with Sirianni and Hurts. I mean, John, that was a lot yesterday.
And you want to know why?
Because it kept being 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1?
Roger Goodell was in attendance.
There you go. So let me give you the bad news as I see it about the tush push yesterday. I think the new mantra around the league from league officials, fans, other teams, the thing that they'll take to the competition committee after the season, the new thing, will be it's very difficult for the officials to officiate it.
Oh, and Dean Blandino got the marching orders.
Yes, he did. Well, no. But I will say this. I think it is hard for them to officiate. I mean, I remember plenty of times last year, plenty of times, where guys were lined up in the neutral zone and it simply wouldn't be called. And you'd only notice, you know, when they showed the replay, the guys were all over the place in the neutral zone. You know, essentially defensively, but also offensively, guys moving early. So that could be, because, you know, Jen, remember the fumble Ruski got outlawed years ago when they said the refs can't follow the ball, not allowed to do it. So I just wonder if yesterday, because there was a lot going on.
Well, I do think
that could be a problem for next season.
I do think that there's going to be a lot of focus just even this week and the next weeks moving forward on the guards being a little.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Early,
yeah.
That was pretty obvious, yeah. And they're going to take that tape. They're going to show it to the league, and this is going to be a point of emphasis now when you officiate the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
You know that memo that flyer that whatever that letter is going to go out.
Yeah.
Hey, officiating crews, keep it tight.
Yep.
We are focused on this. It's been omitted from previous. Like, they haven't called it. They need to be brought to justice, essentially.
And no question. And I'll say this, and then we'll get right back to the phones. I'd like to say it's as simple as, hey, ref, just look down the line. That's your job. Okay? Like, whether there's 20 people in there or the ordinary 10 people in there, just do your job and see if someone moved in there. But maybe when there's so many bodies crowded, you know, because Eagles will have often more than just the regular five. They'll have a tight end. They might have another tight end. They might have another. Like, it's so crowded. The other team's got so many guys up there. Maybe there's just so much action that it is harder for the refs to, I'll use the Sirianni word. Remember this one last year, James? To discern what is going on in there. Because it was a mess yesterday. I mean, it was all over the place. So, and that being such a marquee game, that could hurt next year. But look, Sirianni isn't backing away from it. While it's legal, he is going to ride it. And they rode it to victory yesterday. I thought there were a couple very critical things for the Eagles to win yesterday. One was the tush push. Another was Kelce dropping the ball. I mean, we can talk about the Eagles defense playing well. We can talk about Jalen hitting Devontae, and that was good stuff. But Eagles defense played very well. Kelce dropped the ball, and the tush push was a true factor in the game. All right, let's go to the phones. Bat of the Bone Award coming up shortly. And a lot of audio from post-game, A.J. Brown, Sirianni, all these guys, plus the Merrill montage, all up ahead soon. And Ray Dittinger at 7:55. Let's talk to Kenny in East Oak Lane. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kenny. At work, working it, man. You know, that's what I do. But let's talk about the game yesterday.
Yep.
So a couple things. I need everybody not to panic, because this is the same thing that we kind of saw last year with the past game sputtering. And, you know, I think it's going to be the same thing. We got a brand new offensive coordinator. It's going to be some kinks to work out. Everybody just chill out.
So here's where I'm at on that, Kenny. Kenny, let me address that. I'm not panicking at all, but I am concerned, as I was last year.
I'm not at all.
Yeah, Kenny,
if need be,
yep, go ahead.
Do you fear an inability to win by going over the top? Like, I know Jalen is going to complete those passes downfield when they get the looks that they want.
I don't worry about over the top.
Dictate, we're going to push it downfield.
We saw that
he did that with Devontae yesterday. It's game plan. It's week to week, and it's just a different approach to winning every week.
I worry about the intermediate attack. I think Jalen's got a great deep ball. He always has. And it plays well off of how much teams crowd the box at times to stop either him or Saquon. To me, it's the intermediate game that is a worry for me, for sure. Kenny, go ahead, man.
So what I also wanted to say was I think that they were not they were very conservative yesterday, and rightfully so with Spags, but they didn't do anything cute, which I didn't want them to anyway, because they knew who they were playing, right? So yesterday, Jalen was more or less a game manager, and he's very good at that, and he does, that's what he does. Like, he manages the game on 101 yards, like, nothing to cough at, but I mean, they won the game, like, and it's always, you know, everybody talks about the XYZ, but at the end of the game, it's all about the W. So
yes,
it is what it is.
That's
the run
right.
Game. I like that they did not abandon the run. Those yards were earned. Every single yard, just like you said at the end of the game, all of those yards were earned.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, they dug it out and they got those yards, and I think that was integral because they had a couple long drives. But my favorite part of the game, besides the Makuba interception in the end zone, was Jalen telling Chris Long we won the game. So anything you say doesn't really matter.
Chris Jones, and yes, sir, I second that. That was a tremendous matter of fact, Kenny. Let's listen to that again. Let's hear that exchange right as the kneel down's happening. It's Chris Jones talking some smack to Jalen, and Jalen gives it right back to him.
2-0 start to the season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2 and hand Patrick.
Kenny, I caught it live as it happened. I didn't know Chris Jones had said something, but I caught Hurts saying it live, no question.
Right, and there was some colorful language in there. I was like, oh, somebody's going to get
That's right, man. All right, Kenny, excellent phone call. Keep him coming to us this season. Appreciate it, man. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. We're just talking a lot about the tush push. He gave a pretty detailed answer yesterday on it because there was a lot happening, and you knew he was going to be asked post-game. I'm sure we'll get it in more with him tomorrow when he's on the show at 8:40. Sirianni yesterday, here we go.
It looks like the Chiefs were complaining that a couple of times that the guards were going early. I could probably get that from every team. But how close is that, and how good do you get up to get the timing part?
Yeah, we got to be very good at it because, again, like I said, teams are, you know, I would argue that they were in the neutral zone a lot, you know, and taking every inch that they had. They called the first one to back them up. I didn't think they necessarily backed up, but it's, you know, it is what it is. And they're going to do other things to try to stop that with, you know, the way, again, don't want to get too much into it, but they're doing everything they can do. So it's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of gamesmanship on both sides with that. We know, though, that we have to be perfect with it, with how we come off the football, timing it up, all those different things. Because, we know we have to be perfect with it. We got to get better at that portion of it, of being perfect with it. And I haven't seen the tape on it, obviously, yet of what what they're saying. But, I fuss at the referees at times when I think it goes one way, and I would expect them to do the exact same thing. So, it's just a good effort because, you know, when you're running that play, everyone knows you're running that play. So there's something pretty cool about being able to execute a play when you know exactly what's coming.
You know, it's one thing that's amazing about it, because not only do people know what's coming, they know where it's going. It's going to the Eagles' left side of the line. I mean, it's got to be 90%. It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's a Dickerson Mulata thing, and it is just. I mean, yesterday for the owners that wanted it out, they had to be out of their minds, because I think it plays. I told you guys in the offseason, I think it wins the Eagles, and this is a big number. I'm going to say it again. I think it wins them 2 to 3 games a year. It might not be 3. I think it's 2. I really do. I mean, you know what it almost reminds me of? Turnovers. It's like, you know how you talk about turnovers, the biggest stat in football? It's like the Eagles get an extra possession or two per game. It's like they don't turn it over.
It's the point of having a great goal line short yardage system or play, and the great teams have it. I really believe it. You can just have the one. It doesn't matter. You can have the one. Remember, I've talked about teams that I've been on,
sure,
where we've had a lead play with a fullback, you know, just goal line lead, and it was the only play we ever ran, and it always worked. It's just based on your personnel, you find your sweet spot, and you track that sort of thing with whatever our number is, 90%+ with the success rate. Yesterday, when he was talking about, they called it the first time to try to push them back, and then he didn't think they were pushed back from that point forward. they were lined up offside every time. Like, there are people who are complaining about our guards jumping early.
I totally agree.
Kansas City was over the ball every single snap. So, yeah, you can bellyache about it.
Right.
It's a constant, it is a fluid ref officiating situation right now on what is legal and what's not. They need to start paying a little closer attention.
I agree.
In the trenches, because it's the Wild West.
Now, again, right, it is possible when there's like 16 bodies in there that the refs can't quite see. I mean, that is possible.
And that's why they're going to start using that line of accusation to ban this play.
All right, so, and I'll just say, because I've been on the record the whole time, I don't think it should exist. I'm happy as an Eagles fan that they ride it because they're so good at it. As an NFL fan, I think it should go. I still think it'll go away one of these years, but, you know, we'll see. All right, Bat of the Bone Award. When they win, it's game balls. When they lose, it's blame balls. Seltzer, you know what we don't do very often?
Blame balls.
Correct. You know why?
Because they win all the time.
They always seem to win. Let's crank it up. Bat of the Bone Award. All right. Thank you, George Thorogood. We appreciate it. We also appreciate Nick Sirianni and his squad as Eagles got to 2-0. By the way, Sirianni said a little something going off the field yesterday. Wasn't quoting George Thorogood. He was quoting Eminem. We'll get to that shortly. If you haven't heard it, it's something. All right, so game balls. We start with John Ritchie. 4 game balls to give out here today. John Ritchie, your game ball goes to who?
I want to give it to Za'Darius Smith.
He was really good, man.
I don't know exactly what the final line looked like. I know it wasn't spectacular because he's a defensive lineman, but it was this is a last second change of direction for me, just because we're talking about bad to the bone.
Yeah.
Who was the baddest dude on
the field?
He's
badass, man.
For the majority of the plays, I was checking him out. I was really, really surprised at, you know, like, this guy came in off the street.
Yeah, he had 4 tackles, half sack, tackle for a loss, quarterback hit, 20 snaps, the street.
And fire. Like, this guy was showing, like, when he'd go on the sidelines, he was into it.
And I kind of feel like, you know, hey, 20 snaps, is that enough to give him bad to the bone? Yes.
Totally.
Because this is just going to grow.
Yeah.
His role is going to grow on this team. And I love the veteran. Like, you can feel the knowledge, the veteran. I'm just saying, like, the little things. Like, as soon as a play is made or as soon – he's looking up at the Jumbotron to make sure that the details are exactly as he thought they were. And you can also learn. It's like watching film during the game. Mm. He's watching film, trying to glean as much information as possible. This guy is such a pro. I love what I saw, and I expect – bigger things from this guy moving forward.
Look,
because he really is the talented, smart, and the kind of guy that I hated trying to block. He's got the long arms, and he's, you know, 6'5", 270 pounds, a big dude who can really anchor in.
I'll just say this, and I'm sure I'm speaking for millions. You're watching that guy play yesterday, and you're saying, why the heck was he a free agent a week ago?
Money.
I don't know. I mean, that
the Lions
choice too. I think choice too. I think he wanted to wait,
but
a veteran move,
maybe, and maybe that's what Clowney did. I don't know. Clowney just signed with the Cowboys.
Exactly,
by the way,
exactly what we're seeing.
All right, Seltzer, bad of the bone. Who do you got?
So I didn't. There are two I'm thinking of. There's an obvious youngster who I'm sure is going to get taken. I didn't think he'd be there. I thought Richie was going to take him, but I'm still going to go with the one I was going to take because I thought Richie was going to take the rookie because I want to take him and I think he deserves it. We have not mentioned his name much today, but and you could really do it through 2 weeks. The way Vic Fangio has come into this season and completely mixed up what he did last year, he has blitzed like crazy both of these games. The defense was the big issue we came into the season, all these new pieces, and they have been the strong point of this team, certainly through the last 5 quarters they've played without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of Vic, man, like a lot of new pieces. He's doing it different and he's finding ways to make it work. The adjustments he made after the rain delay, the whole thing, I just think Vic's been awesome so far this year.
Well said. I hadn't thought of it. That's a good one, James. Rhea, what do you got?
I'll take him since you didn't, James.
Figured you would. There we go.
Makuba, you know, the interception, 6 tackles, 5 solo, half sack, tackle for a loss, pass deflected. But to me, one of the biggest plays he made was that stop on 3rd and 1, you know, behind, you know, short of the sticks. Yeah. It was a nasty hit. and I loved it.
Yeah, impressive. Impressive. Look, he's kind of on the smaller side, sort of like Doc was.
That's what you worry
about. Not as muscular, but on the smaller side.
Doc,
but
Doc was big.
Doc was muscular. Oh, Doc was muscular, but he was not. He was not height and all that wise, you know, what some safeties can be.
According
but,
to him. I mean.
By the way, he's still so jacked, man.
I had to try to block him. In there, he never, ever felt small as a defender.
But, I mean, when he was drafted, people said, this is a small safety. All right, so one more bat of the bone award. All right, I'm going to give an honorable mention. I've never done this before, but they deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:35. We've barely mentioned them today. Philadelphia Phillies. Honorable mention, bat of the bone award. I mean, guys, they made the playoffs over the weekend. I know they lost yesterday. Funky way to make the playoffs, the whole thing. We all get that. But excellent job, particularly down the stretch, surging by the Phillies.
12-4 since that Mets series.
12-4 since the Mets series. Wow. They have a
and
shot to get the Brewers.
That game on Friday, too, like after sweeping the Mets four games, go down 4-0 immediately, like could have easily been like, eh.
Yep.
We'll get them tomorrow. And they fought back. They've done that a lot.
Yeah, no, really nice job. So I know it's been a roller coaster this year, but credit to the Phillies. But if I'm going Eagles bat of the bone, I'm going to go to Nick Sirianni. You know what? Let me tell you something about Sirianni. I think he, and I thought Doug was pretty darn good at this. I think Sirianni's exceptional at it. I think he is an exceptional game manager. I think he manages the game, the clock, the timeouts, the, hey, we're going to decline this thing. I know there were people that wanted him to go for the jugular at the end of the first half. I did not. I thought it was the wise course of action.
I really wanted him to.
I did not.
You could have easily run plays. I want to maximize. I want to milk as much possible as I possibly can every last second.
I didn't want to sack.
You can run a play.
I didn't want to sack, take him out of field goal range. I trusted Elliott.
We can score a touchdown there.
Maybe, but you could also score zero.
Two more plays, two more opportunities.
And the declining was good, too.
The declining was great.
I'm resentful. Yeah. If I'm one of those players, I'm resentful that my coach didn't have the
Jalen seemed very resentful.
He was ticked. He was ticked. But as a fan, I think it was the right call. I appreciate that right arm. He's got a freaking Nolan Ryan. Let me throw the flag 30 yards to challenge it, which was, I thought it should have been overturned. But look, bottom line is, and they play hard. They play hard. So, and I do think they're very focused.
And they're mentally tough.
I think Sirianni, we're seeing Nick Sirianni coach against Andy Reid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that says something. And Nick and Jalen and the Eagles squad has won 3 in a row. And I think Sirianni's a big part of that. I will say this. I wish he had been on at Super Bowl 57 and know that he should have had different cleats earlier. He could be a 2-time Super Bowl champ right now. That's still there. But he's a great coach. He's a great coach, and I think he deserves it. And that's a bat of the bone award today. All right, let's get to Rick calling from Easton right now. Rick, good morning.
That was funny. When I saw that red flag in the end zone, I said to my buddies, what's that red flag in the end zone? That's the challenge flag.
Well, Rick, you know what the thing about it is? It's and I'm sure he's thought about this because he is so detailed. I'm sure he's thought about this dichotomy. If I throw it 25, 30 yards, I can get it toward them. But it's going to be 25, 30 yards through the air. That might take a second. If I drop it on the ground, I can immediately drop it, but they might not see it. And the play might get off, and now, my flag doesn't count. So I bet you a guy like Sirianni has to think about which one do I want.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the drop on the ground where it doesn't count.
I think he's opting for the best chance it's seen immediately.
Oh, clearly.
Because you get a longer visual as it's traveling through the air.
Yeah. But when they're all the way down at the other end, I mean, you do run the risk that, play goes and touchdown. Anyway, Rick, go ahead, my man. What'd you notice yesterday?
First things first, how many games Randall Cunningham had 250 to 300 yards and he had a great defense? And they found ways to lose those kind of games. I can only hear this station the next week or so. By the way, they got to be good at home. The Eagles are the only team in the NFL that don't have back-to-back home games.
Yeah.
They better be good on the road.
Until the playoffs.
So here's my explain on this. Petula is learning.
Well done.
And when you have a coach with the pedigree and the swamp foxness, ooh, of Fangio and Scott Stotland, I have a feeling they can bring some wrinkles to Petula. I know when I coached in college and high school, we all talked all the time, the offense
and defensive coordinators. I think the combo of the youth and the experience they have, the experience of Fangio and Stoutland is going to definitely shine through. But they cannot allow a deep ball at that point of the game, because that's what the Cowboys did yesterday with the Giants. You cannot in this league, when you know they only have a shot to win this game or get close, to get behind your D-backs, you cannot allow. And that was done.
That happened a couple times, by the way.
Especially after Mahomes misses that throw. The guy was wide. Mahomes, that was like one of the worst misses you'll ever see from Mahomes.
That happened probably two times in three or four plays, which is not good. By the way, that might have cost Peyton, and Rick, good call. That might have cost Peyton Manning a Super Bowl, because he lost to Joe Flacco in a playoff game that way. And yeah, that is really bad. All right, A.J. Brown's not getting deep balls, short balls, intermediate. He's getting nothing. We're essentially
He's getting it on special teams, and we appreciate it. We appreciate the hands
that. And he did have an amazing 4-yard catch yesterday.
Unbelievable. But I will tell you this. The way it's going, he could miss the Hall of Fame, which would be a shame, because he is, in my opinion, flat-out top five in football. The only guy that is like a guaranteed top five is Justin Jefferson.
I would say those two.
And Chase. But I think A.J. is top five, but, man, his numbers are paltry. I'm sure he's frustrated. Let's listen to A.J. after the game yesterday, talking about how teams are defending him. Remember, 2 years ago, I mean, through like 8 or 9 games, I thought he was on his way maybe to an MVP, and now he's lucky if he gets, you know, 20 yards in a game. AJ after the game on how teams are defending him.
What are you seeing as far as the way defenses are playing you like these first 2 games?
I'm getting doubled, rotating to my side sometimes. Today was a lot of zero, but most of the time, I still get doubled.
And here's the thing I'll say, because you guys know where I stand on Hurts. I haven't changed. I mean, my basic analysis of so far this year, I thought he was excellent game one, far from excellent game two. I'm talking about Hurts. It's like if AJ is being doubled, that's where you want to see the ball go to Calcaterra, Devontae, Saquon. I think Calcaterra's all right. But I mean, Saquon, you look at the stats from yesterday, it just wasn't much to anybody. I'm looking at it here. 4 to Devontae for 53, Saquon 2 for 6, Calcaterra 1 for 6, Granson 1 for 5, Dotson 1 for 4, Metchie 1 for nothing. You know, I John, would you say Jalen was not as good yesterday as game one? Because I thought that was pretty obvious.
Well, I guess not. It was a different game, a different day, different set of expectations based on what the defense was giving them.
Heavy blitz.
Yeah, and they were coming from all over the place. Yeah. There was never a time where they could get comfortable and know what to expect. So they were going with a lot of very vanilla stuff. And, if they found something that worked, they would go back to it. And that was just sort of the nature of the day. That combined with the fact that they had sort of streamlined things, I believe, a little bit because of the noise.
Yep.
You have to simplify it when you just can't communicate certain things. You know, everything has to be hand signals. So you do pull back a little bit on the volume of the offense. So when they found stuff that worked, I think they stuck with it. It just so happened that it wasn't...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuff that was flashy and garnering all these stats that you clearly want to see.
Well, it's not about stats. I mean, I thought they played with fire.
Stats.
They played with fire. And if Travis Kelce catches the ball or CD catches the ball last week, they could have had a different outcome in these games. All right,
didn't.
No, I get that they didn't.
That's the point. They win. They do what it takes to win, and somehow they're still not getting credit for it completely.
I give them credit for the win.
A big enough win.
Look, I'll say this. Last year, we saw them struggle with the passing game and win a Super Bowl. It can happen.
I would like
to see them not play with that fire again.
Every coach I ever played for said, every single game we play is going to be a point here, a point there. You know, we're going to win by one. Yeah. We're going to win by two. These are neck and neck. That's the NFL,
but I'll give you
they have rules in place to create
And
that
again, it's week
parity.
Two.
No, I got it.
We put ourselves where we were last year. Again, people wanted to hear any fire. record 5 weeks in the season, and it ended up being the best Eagles team we've ever seen.
We're ahead of where
I'm just saying, let's keep that in mind.
James, I totally get it. I will say this one other thing. I'm down the middle today. I got some real good and some real bad. I don't think Kansas City is any good anymore. Like, let me take it back. I don't think they're good anymore.
Well, just
I think
they
could
play,
be average or below average. I don't
they
think they make the playoffs.
Average or below average team.
We'll say.
Wait until you see what that looks like.
I'm going to give you Kansas City maxes out at 8 wins this year. I might look foolish in a couple months. If I am, I am. But I don't think it was as impressive a win as we ordinarily would think in KC. I think they are very depleted. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2026 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question today, are you concerned about the Eagles' passing offense, yes or no? Second poll question, do you think the Chiefs make the playoffs this year? We're just trying to assess the quality of the win. As you perceive it, yes or no. All right, Merrill, on top of his game yesterday, some great calls, including the Makubu interception. This was awesome. Let's listen to Merrill and Mike. We do it after every game they win. It's a Merrill montage. We're gonna need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. The Chiefs want some revenge for their 40-22 shellacking by the Eagles in Super Bowl 59. This time it goes to Barkley. Across the 10, 5, touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
They cleared the lane.
The Birds 7, the Chiefs nothing. Butker with a 56-yard attempt. The kick is away, and the kick is, this one is good. The Eagles 7, the Chiefs 3.
Mahomes
into a long count. He takes his drop. Here comes the rush. They've got him back near the 40. Eagles got him, and it was Andrew Makuba with a safety blitz.
Mahomes back.
He's being chased. He's going to run. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He dives. He's in for the touchdown. And just like that, the Chiefs take the lead. Score, the Chiefs 10. The Eagles 7. Hurts again. In the gun. He's back. Here comes the rush. He lets it fly, and it is complete for a first down as
he
gets A.J. Brown.
That?
I don't know how he caught it.
He's falling, and he reaches up with one hand, and he catches the ball. This is crazy.
That's A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown is special.
Great man puts it down. The kick is away, and the kick is good. And we are tied at halftime, 10-10. Oh, once again, thank goodness for Jake. Tight defensive struggle. Back goes Mahomes. He fires. It's intercepted on a deflection. There's the turnover. Intercepted by Makuba. Down the far sideline he goes, all the way across the 40. There is the interception that could change this game dramatically.
You know, as I play and as I make the plays I make and be in a position, I feel like a game more confident would be another thing, getting comfortable. And I feel like sooner or later, I'm going to get really, really comfortable, and it's going to be scary.
Third down and 10. They have to get to the Chiefs' 21-yard line. Hurts in the gun. Here come the Chiefs. Hurts is putting it in the air for Smith, who leaps, has it at the 5, and is thrown down. Hurts got it away, and Devontae Smith went skyward.
And this could be the game right here. Biggest play. Hurts under center. They push. They shove. And he's in! Touchdown! They did it again!
The Eagles, 20. The Kansas City Chiefs, 10. Back goes Mahomes again. He is going deep, wide open, and it is caught. Touchdown, Thornton. That time he was wide open, and then Mahomes hit him.
Butker at the onside kick. He executes it, and the Eagles have it. Fielded by sure-handed A.J. Brown. They line up. They push. They shove. And he clearly picks up the first down. And that should do it.
That will do it.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles are 2-0 as they defeat the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17. This was not classic. It was not dazzling. But you know what it was? It was a win. And the Eagles and Jalen Hurts know how to win.
And that is, to me, a very last year type win. Grind it out, gut it out, find a way to win, and they did. And especially when you're not playing your best early in the year, stack wins.
Did last year turn out okay? I can't remember.
It did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
But they don't all turn,
no,
but they
I'm
don't
just,
all turn
I,
out that
I,
way.
I'm just joking.
By
I'm
the way,
last
great.
Year, think about our defense. We weren't. Yeah. We had no idea what we were supposed to be doing until 6-7 games into it, whatever that was. This defense, holy cow.
I'm impressed.
Ahead of schedule.
Yes, they are.
Beyond what I can even express. Yesterday, watching those two inside linebackers, you got Zach Bond, you got Jahad Campbell, the way that Vic Fangio can now call these games where it's almost like, hey, guys, we're gonna send you. I don't know how often they sent them percentage-wise, but it felt like when you have that sort of speed and it's coming from depth and it's coming in a randomized way, it's mayhem. Our defense, our inside backers create mayhem every single play, but it's beautifully organized in that you got Zach Bond going from depth. As soon as the ball snaps, he's in the backfield about to hit Patrick Mahomes, who gets rid of the ball at the last second to Travis Kelce, who is now blanket covered by Jahad Campbell, the other inside linebacker. You got one flashing in there, making the hit on Patrick Mahomes. You got the other one with perfect inside his jersey coverage on Travis Kelce, making the tackle the moment the ball arrives.
Similar to last year.
Short of the sticks.
Yeah, similar to last year, defense is better than I expected. I mean, last year was way better than I expected.
But a Bond.
A lot
because of Bond.
Carter came on, Quinyon and Cooper
Carter
immediately.
Yesterday was not able to play the way he's going to play because he was so gassed. He was so gassed from trying so hard to make up for week one. And he's going to be a lot better.
And listen, this Smith guy might be better than Hunt. And I like Hunt, but I mean, I don't feel like I've seen him do much in the first two games.
He's still developing. That's why it was huge to bring in Smith.
Smith looks like a baller.
Hunt was a safety at Princeton like 3 years ago, you know?
Yeah. He needed Zadarius big time because of this. Yeah. Like Jalix Hunt, while we're watching the game, I brought this up, why haven't we seen anything from Jalix Hunt? I don't remember a play being made.
I don't either.
By Jalix. And I was told big things.
Smith's my David Robertson, except I get him for 16 games instead of a month or 2 months, whatever it was.
And he's so much better. Well,
you know what I'm saying.
This guy is going to, insta-starter, and he's so much better than what we have right now.
All right, we're going to talk to the Diddy, Ray Dittinger, in just the next couple of minutes. Going to join us. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Great, Ken.
It's always a good Monday after the Eagles win, which is pretty usual around here with Nick Sirianni as the head coach of football.
You know, he's now got the second best record for a head coach in the Super Bowl era of all
winning
time.
Winning percentage-wise.
Behind only John Madden.
That's incredible.
With 50 minimum wins. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did know that, but for some reason we will still swoon over Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and all those guys this year.
They're really good coaches too.
Yeah, almost as good as Nick. So two things: Jalix Hunt did draw a holding penalty yesterday, and you probably could have called holding on every. I mean, that was really bad. what was going on up front there was really.
Hey,
bad.
Ken, are you struggling with the numbers? I don't know who's who out there. I mean, I got defensive backs wearing sevens. I got defensive ends wearing zeros.
So I'm
struggling with this.
I struggled with 23. I was screaming at him to get off the field when he obviously did not want to tackle Patrick Mahomes on the touchdown run.
Who's 23? Someone help me. I swear to God, some of these guys, I'm like, who are? Because you don't see these guys in the preseason games.
Guys,
I'm like, who are these guys?
Hold on. There's a huge development from yesterday. Talking about the numbers that we don't know.
Okay.
36 is on the field.
Brian Westbrook?
No, Cameron Latu.
They're going to use him as a fullback, John.
former defensive lineman. He only had 6 plays on offense yesterday. He had like 15 or 16 on special teams. This Latu guy blew the linebacker up. He destroyed the inside linebacker. They brought him in motion. This is like a U tight end, the second tight end job, the motion guy, or a fullback. He comes over and absolutely destroys, meets that linebacker, smash face to face, and then drives him 7 yards and plants him in the end zone.
Was it a bigger
this
hit
is
than
a fullback?
Was it a bigger hit than Nolan Smith drilling that dude on the other side of the ball? Because Nolan Smith.
He's a violent man.
He's awesome. But I'm telling you, this Latu guy, Cam Latu hits like Nolan
Smith. I'm glad to hear it.
Our team hits like a truck.
Well, let's not have them
doing.
Let's not have those
John,
two doing
John, I thought
Oklahoma
of you when
drill.
I saw that. I said they got that. They got their fullback.
Yeah, he can right. lead ISO people.
Ken, go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, so the main reason I called was Jordan Davis at some point has got to get some love on Bad to the Bone. He has been wrecking shop the first 2 weeks of the season.
I hope he's okay.
He just had a cramp.
The interior of that line of scrimmage yesterday. He absolutely destroyed the interior of that line of scrimmage. Batted two balls yesterday. You have to be careful how you say that. But
sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. That's bad. The batted balls. It's really important that you get your hands up. Yeah. But coaches always say, hey, you know when you batted the ball, you didn't get there.
Well, he's not. But we also know he's not going to get there that much. So
true, and it's a huge part of his job to bat the ball, and he's always getting his hands up, so he's doing his job.
Totally,
he's
played better than I expected.
He's getting a lot of push.
I've been impressed with Jordan Davis so far.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.